Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email here at American Family Radio, as long as it's what we call a K-Love email, which means positive and encouraging, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning.
Who's donning a Paisley tie today.
It is a Paisley tie.
With a white shirt.
Yep.
Yeah, with the funeral director's shirt.
That's right. Or an IBM shirt. This used to be the IBM.
That's true.
Of choice.
Executive.
Yep.
Our office
Everybody
worker.
Everybody at IBM at one point had to wear white shirts.
I just got to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just now thought of this when you're talking about we want the K-Love emails if you want to, you know, send
positive a positive and encouraging.
Positive and encouraging. The only people who are going to ignore your request are people who are going to be critical.
You got a point.
Because they want to unload on us something right. We did that made them angry. So those are the kind of people who are going to say, I don't care what Tim said.
Tim is using the logic of the New Mexico governor.
Right.
Who says you can ban guns in there.
And criminals
will obey.
Will obey.
Hey, let me just say one thing about that.
Yeah.
As we go forward politically here, because very few things upset and divide people like politics.
Right.
Right. And even within camps.
Yeah.
So you got the Republican camp over here, but you got people upset about are supportive of this, that, and the other, and they don't agree with their family member on who they support, whatever like
right.
that. And let me just say this. We're going to have a campaign season. I think our listening audience can generally agree secular progressivism is not our friend.
It's bad for the country. It's
bad for the country and all that goes with it. Secular progressivism. The vast majority of our folks are conservative.
Right.
And they listen to this network because we're Christian.
Right.
Right. So, but by necessity, we're going to have to talk about politics and things candidates say and do. And I would just plead with people.
Plead.
Have some mercy.
On our knees.
Yeah, or either we're just not going to talk about it at all.
Right.
Okay, which one do you want? Because we got two letters in our office yesterday. I'm not supporting you anymore because you're talking bad about Trump. Wesley showed them to me. Just two letters.
Right.
But they're saying they're cutting us off.
They're really? Saying, they're not going to support us at all?
No more donations to you because you talk bad about Trump. Now, those are minutes. We'd only get a handful.
Right.
But I'm saying that's the attitude that some people take. Or any other candidate. I don't think we have any Biden supporters that have cut us off. Because we don't have any. But I'm just talking about, man, you talk about Trump in any kind of negative or critical way. They get mad.
Yeah.
And they get mad and they say,
we're done.
No more donations to you.
Right.
I got an email the other day. Now, the fellow said, you need to dial back your criticisms of Trump. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, it was something that we had said that we were only quoting Trump.
Right.
We were only quoting former President Trump about something that made him not look so good.
Right.
But that was considered
anti-Trump.
Anti-Trump. So going to cut you off.
And the fact of the matter is, inside the ministry here, people are all over the place. We have always Trumpers here. I'm not sure we have any never Trumper. I don't know. But in terms, there is no quote-unquote position on Trump
right
here where everybody is for or against. So you're going to get a variety of opinions even on this show.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, he does good things and bad things.
Right.
Like a lot of other politicians. He's not God.
Right.
He's not a political savior.
Right.
So we're
asking people to be patient.
Yeah. Have some grace.
Right.
And understand just because something is said that may be critical of President Trump doesn't mean we're saying don't vote for the guy or he's terrible or anything like that.
Right.
But he is a person that says things that sometimes are whacked out. Okay.
And to be honest, we cover everything that we do.
So listen, I told somebody the other day, we were talking about this. I said, President Trump, I voted for him twice. I wrote a column after after 2020, when it was clear he wouldn't be the president. I mean, you know, we're not going to revisit that whole discussion, right. What happened there. But I praised him profusely for the things that he did, the good things that he did while he was president of the United States. And they are numerous. Not the least of which is three Supreme Court justices.
Right.
Now, Trump followed through on his promises to, which was the most important thing to me, to appoint federal judges that were
right.
constitutionalist and conservative. Now, President Trump himself, that wasn't his bailiwick. He wasn't very knowledgeable on who to pick, but he listened to the experts,
right?
Which was the Federalist Society, and that's all he could do, right?
Right.
To his credit, to President Trump's credit. So I don't have any qualms about what he did his 4 years in office. You could nitpick him on COVID if you want to.
Yeah.
I think, but my word, he was blindsided like we all were. And
right.
again, you're trying to follow the medical experts, and they didn't always have the best interest of our country at heart. But right. Trump didn't know that at the time, I don't think. So I cut him some slack on that. Right. But my thing about President Trump is he's dividing the Republican Party unnecessarily by always trashing DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and some of the others, by calling them names, being petty, childish with his responses, and I don't see that's necessary. And when he does that, he hasn't called the duly elected governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who is challenging Trump, and I know when you challenge Trump, you're going to get slapped down by Trump.
Right.
That's the way he's always operated, and that's politics to a certain extent. But don't demean the person personally. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so when you do that with DeSantis, for example, he's the governor of Florida, duly twice elected. When you never call him by his title, you just call him DeSanctimonious or DeSantis. That's highly disrespectful of your fellow Republican conservative. So why do that? And people say, well, that's just the way he operates. Well, what if Governor DeSantis started just calling him Fat Donnie every day? Well, Fat Donnie said this today, or Humpty Trumpty did this today. what if he called him Humpty Trumpty? Then you know what everybody would say? That is so disrespectful.
And I would say that.
Most people wouldn't. I don't think most people would have as big an issue with it because you in NASCAR they have a saying, I'll race you the way you race me. So if he's going to be calling everybody else names, when someone calls him a name, I think they'll be cut a little bit of slack.
No.
I mean, well, I don't
maybe
think
so.
It would upset
I just
most people.
Think,
it's
just I just kinda, think, I just
you dish
think,
it out, you got to take it.
I just think if Governor DeSantis started calling Trump Humpty Trumpty, today.
I would criticize Governor DeSantis.
You would say that's childish, and quite frankly, if you're going to act like that,
it's not an argument. It's not an argument about why you should be president. That's what I would say. That Ron DeSantis isn't going to call and ask for my opinion, but I would say Governor DeSantis, that is not an argument about why you should be president and Donald Trump shouldn't. So stick to political okay. arguments and some degree of reason and logic.
Yes. President Trump hasn't called Governor DeSantis by his proper title in 6 months. He just does this sanctimonious or sanctus, And he calls other people names all the time, and that's his shtick, I understand.
And I'm fine with Trump saying Ron DeSantis has plummeted in the polls. That to me is an argument that you're making.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know, the other thing about this, and then we'll close this out, I've said this before, but I just think we need to have a family discussion here.
That's right.
We need to have a family
before we go and have some pie.
Yes.
At the dinner table.
Or pizza. But here's the thing. I didn't mean to ethnic stereotype there. We all like pizza, yet, even though you're Italian. So I don't know what that meant. I just said it.
I would just move on.
You think move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not calling me Eddie Spaghetti. It's a good day.
Okay. So with DeSantis, for example, yes, he's only polling at, 12 to 14%. If you believe the polls, and I do believe the polls that say that Trump is substantially ahead in the Republican Party, okay, among the voters.
Right.
But DeSantis is polling pretty much second almost every time. And I would just say this, if you're Trump, why go make enemies of DeSantis and the people that support him when, in fact, if you're the nominee of the Republican Party, you're going to need every one of those people to support you, vote for you, and be enthusiastic.
Right.
And so if you spend your time disrespecting somebody and bad-mouthing them and personalizing the contest, don't expect them to come rally around you when you say, okay, it's time for us to unite. President Trump says, okay, it's time for us to unite. Oh, really?
Right.
You just talked about my family for the last 6 months, and now you want me to come hold your hand and say I'm proud to be supported?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Is that not human nature?
Yeah, it is human nature.
Okay, so there you go. So, yes, it's everybody within the Republican conservative camp, you can have your back and forth and your distinguishing policy differences, but I do think it's a responsibility. I don't think he'll do it, but Trump needs to dial it back on these personal attacks, personal, below the belt, not policy.
Right.
Because Trump can stand proudly on his policy while he was president. We just talked about that. I think, don't you guys?
Absolutely, and I've said this before. That should be what he's talking about, and he should be saying, hey, Ron DeSantis is a great guy. He's a great governor of Florida. I support him.
I live there.
My governor, I live there. It's a great state, but he's inexperienced in dealing with foreign policy, and I was in there for 4 years.
Right.
I know the problems with the deep state. It's not Ron DeSantis' turn. It's my turn. You want an experienced leader, you vote for Donald Trump. To me, that's a winning argument.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
That's the best argument he could make.
Right.
Now, the secondary argument would be for those who think President Trump's less likely to win because of the baggage he claims he carries. That's a whole separate argument.
But that's the kind of arguments
that DeSantis
we should be
could make.
Yeah.
Or others could make.
Right.
So, anyway, Steve, I just wanted to get that out in the open.
Well, I agree.
because it's really disappointing. Let me say this, and then you can have the next 10 minutes. It is disappointing when we're standing for biblical values and truth and trying to talk forward first and foremost about the gospel.
Right.
But we say anything that people take as a criticism of their particular favorite candidate, and then they say, I'm cutting you off.
Right.
I'm going, can we not have a little bit better of a big picture perspective on whether Donald Trump's the president or Joe Biden's the president, God forbid, or Ron DeSantis is the president a year and a half from now? We're still going to be here. And you know what? The first and foremost mission of ours is going to be advancing the gospel of Christ.
And standing for biblical values.
Not supporting a Republican or a Democrat or an independent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's our calling.
Do you hear my heart?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. So anyway, there you go. Go ahead, Steve. It's all yours.
I just one thing to add, I agree with everything you said about the dual nature of Donald Trump, the goods and the bads. But the one thing I want to add to what you said about his first term, anybody else that would have brokered a peace deal between Israel and Arab nations would have had two or maybe three Nobel Peace Prizes by
right.
now.
That's absolutely true.
That is one of the signature accomplishments of that man's first term, maybe only term, I don't know. But people don't tend to think about that a whole lot, but that was massive.
It was.
Good point. Well, if COVID wouldn't have hit, Trump would have been reelected pretty handily.
Yeah, I think so.
But the Chinese released COVID. You believe that, Ed?
Increasingly, I do.
Oh, do you?
Well, increasingly, I believe they either released it or it escaped from the lab.
It escaped from the lab.
And they just said, let's see what happens.
Yeah. I subscribe to the it escaped theory. Yep. But isn't it convenient how it escaped?
Just before
the election.
Yeah. Yep.
And very, very shortly after the CDC and the WHO had war gamed, as they say, a pandemic exercise.
Yeah. Well, now you're really going.
Curiouser, huh?
Now you're really going on.
And now we got UFOs.
Let's talk about something less controversial.
You tell me there's no connection there.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
If you believe in that kind of coincidence, go ahead.
All right. So the White House has been riding on its benefactors in the mainstream media. They kind of have an agreement with, and Democrats have for years, since even before Obama, but the Democrats have been accused of carrying the water for the media has been accused of carrying the water for the Democrats and saying whatever. Well, the White House has taken this to a new level because the Biden White House sent a letter to top U.S. news outlets, asking them to be skeptical of Republican efforts to impeach Joe Biden. So they actually sent a written letter says, yeah, you better take a close look at these things. And you know what? The mainstream media has been listening. I have a little bit of a montage here that this is just something I put together for a story that's running today on American Family News. Listen to how the mainstream media is dealing with these impeachment threats. Cut 7.
In the absence of evidence of impeachable offenses,
they are still searching for hard evidence of any wrongdoing.
Some unproven allegations that the president himself was involved in all of this.
So far have not provided a conclusive link.
They have yet to show any proof.
You know, that's just sickening compared to what they did with Russia, Russia, Russia.
Oh.
And all of that stuff. They acted as if there was evidence. This is no shock, no surprise. I think I recognize George Stephanopoulos and some of those other voices that for the last decade
Democrat
or more,
voices?
Yeah, Democrat voices.
Posing as independent journalists?
Yes. It's just, it really is. I was going to say it's stunning, but I'm not stunned anymore. This is what I expect from Pravda.
Right. Okay,
which was the Russian newspaper that was always supportive of the Soviet Union's policies. And that's what the mainstream media is. They are the Pravda of our generation, and they serve at the beck and call of the Democratic Party. Case closed. There is no controversy. There is no need to prove that. It is evident that that is their function in our society right now. And what conservative media is available and what alternative media is available, and we fall in either of those categories, we're the only thing that keeps an opposing view alive for people to find out about. And the Republicans, in trying to have hearings on impeachment, this impeachment inquiry concerning Joe Biden, they're the only hope for people to get to the bottom of it because the mainstream media has failed to be the watchdog that they are supposed to be.
Yep. You guys, I think you talked a little bit about the Iran deal and the ransom for hostages at the first hour.
We've talked about it this week. I don't think we talked about it first
well,
hour.
Let me just
we're too busy talking about aliens,
UFOs. All right,
sort or another.
Let me say this. So we've documented here on American Family Radio and on today's issues about the energy crisis, so-called, that's going on in the country. The Biden has invaded the strategic oil reserves. Donald Trump, for whatever all we've been saying, one of the things he also did was had America energy independent.
Right.
We're not anymore. We're getting oil from a lot of other places. But you know who is energy independent these days? Iran has regained its position as the third largest crude oil producer with a production of barrels per day in August. That's according to OPEC. The Islamic Republic witnessed the highest increase in crude oil production among OPEC members on a month-to-month basis in August. The country's production rose by 143,000 barrels a day. So Iran now outpaces Saudi Arabia, which voluntarily rolled back its production. So it's capable about producing Iran, but it's not at this point.
And it's not because OPEC decided to cut back production across the board?
I'm not sure that Iran is part of OPEC.
No, I'm talking about
OPEC. That's why, yes. Saudi Arabia voluntarily cut production by 1 million barrels per day till the end of 2023 because that's how they control the world's oil markets.
Yeah, the price of oil.
Now, the United States, given fracking and shale oil and all that kind of stuff, we were way out ahead of the rest of the world.
And frankly, under the Trump administration, that's what kept oil prices, gas prices low in this country, was the fact that we were producing so much.
All right. Hey, let's end here. Do you guys fly Delta Airlines at all?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, so Delta has these lounges that they have in the airports. And if you're a platinum member or if you have a first class ticket or whatever, you can go into these. Well, Delta is now starting to restrict access to their airport lounges. They've changed the rules. So now, if you are a current platinum Delta Airline customer, instead of unlimited visits starting in February of 2025, you can only get 6 visits a year, or you can spend $75,000 on a card in a calendar year, then you can get as many as you want. Or, and if you have SkyMiles reserved, you get 10 visits per year. So not only are the airlines not flying on time and making you stay at the airport longer waiting for your flight if it does or doesn't take off,
right.
You can't even stay in Delta's lounge now, even if you're a premium customer.
What's the purpose behind this? Maybe part of the purpose is to get the very wealthy to kick in more money so that they get more money, for this amenity. But it doesn't really – does it cost them anything to have people staying in the lounge?
The news comes as the
because there's food in there.
There is food.
Oh, okay.
I've been several times, because of
– The news comes as, according to the Fox Business News, the news comes as the airline struggles to handle overcrowding at popular lounges at JFK in Atlanta. So there's too many people
taking advantage of
their place to stay. So if you're a SkyMiles person and a platinum member, you got to sit out there with the riffraff.
Well,
now,
with the
like me,
with the riffraff,
riffraff like me, those of us who can't afford platinum tickets,
with the happy airline travelers across America.
Yay!
I fly now as little as possible. If it's in within 8 hours or so, I'm driving it.
I hear you, brother.
Pretty soon you're going to have UFO things you can fly around in, though. So apparently.
UAPs.
Yep.
George Jetson. Bum, bum, bum. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ed, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for the ethnic slur about pizza.
My thanks to Fred Jackson and Brent Creeley, our producer. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Trivia Friday. We'll have some fun.